Welcome back to the Divine Office. I'm still kind of in self-isolation retreat, which means that you can be assured that there will be many Divine Office videos on this special feast day of the Pope's Office, of the Office of Holy Apostle Peter perpetuated in the Church. This is one of my favorite feasts, which explains why I'm going to try to do such a good job on it. I think our first reading, or our first prayers, will simply be the Office of Readings. And then we'll come back with morning prayer, evening prayer, and hopefully daytime prayer and night prayer as well later on. And of course, I'll have to make room for all that digitally. But in any case, here we go. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise on this special feast of the Apostle Peter. Church chooses something from the common of apostles. Come, let us worship the Lord, King of Apostles. Psalm 67 is our invitatory psalm. O God, be gracious and bless us. I've chosen it and let it. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples, you guide the nations on earth. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. The earth has yielded its fruit, for God our God has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. Glory to the Father. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Now our song, specific to St. Peter's and his office, Good Shepherd Peter, graciously receive the prayers of those who beg you, and unbind all chains of sin, who by your judgment close and open heaven's gate for every mortal by the power granted you. Eternal glory to the Blessed Trinity, all might and honor, virtue and exalted praise, who reign forever God, the perfect three in one, before the ages, now and through eternity. Amen. Now we have our special psalms. Peter said to, the antiphon one, Peter said, God has raised up and glorified this Jesus whom you put to death. And then we'll have our psalms from the Common of Apostles specific for this. And we'll have the special psalms for morning prayer. The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message. No speech, no word, no voice is heard, yet their span extends through all the earth, their words to the uttermost bounds of the world. Peter said, God has raised up and glorified this Jesus whom you put to death. There he has placed a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom coming from his tent, rejoices like a champion to run its course. At the end of the sky is the rising of the sun. To the furthest end of the sky is its course. There is nothing concealed from its burning heat. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. To enlighten the world, Father, you sent us your word as the Sun of truth and justice, shining upon mankind. Illumine our eyes that we may discern your glory in the many works of your hands, the optional psalm prayer. Through him, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Peter said, God has raised up and glorified this Jesus whom you put to death. Antiphon 2, the Lord has sent his angel to free me from Herod's power. Another key event in Peter's life, recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, is Antiphon 2. And now we have Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God, as I complain. Guard my life from the dread of the foe. Hide me from the band of the wicked, from the throng of those who do evil. They sharpen their tongues like swords. They aim bitter words like arrows. To shoot at the innocent from ambush, shooting suddenly and recklessly. They scheme their evil course. They conspire to lay secret snares. They say, who will see us? Who can search out our crimes? He will search who searches the mind and knows the depths of the heart. God has shot them with his arrow and dealt them sudden wounds. Their own tongue has brought them to ruin, and all who see them mock. Then will all men fear. They will tell what God has done. They will understand God's deeds. The just will rejoice in the Lord and fly to him for refuge. All the upright hearts will glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Some reasons I love this prayer. You know, it's just a powerful thing when you don't know quite what to say to God. Sometimes the Psalms in the office can really kindle your own personal conversation with God, or they might even speak to you more like Lectio Divina. So that's just one of the reasons I think many people love this prayer, this form of prayer, or at least parts of it, like the Reduced Magnificat. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Just for clarity, there's a reduced paraliturgy, liturgy of the hours, in the Magnificat book that many Catholics use. So they too have found that helpful, even though they're not praying the entire office. And this is our antiphon. The Lord has sent his angel to free me from Herod's power, says St. Peter. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. Psalm 97. The Lord is King. Let earth rejoice. The many coastlands be glad. Cloud and darkness are his raiment, his throne, justice and right. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. A fire prepares his path. It burns up his foes on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth trembles at the sight. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The skies proclaim his justice. All peoples see his glory. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. Let those who serve idols be ashamed. Those who boast of their worthless gods. All you spirits, worship him. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. Zion hears and is glad. The people of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. For you indeed are the Lord, most high above all the earth, exalted far above all spirits. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. The Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the souls of his saints. He sets them free from the wicked. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. Light shines forth for the just, and joy for the upright of heart. Rejoice, you just, in the Lord. Give glory to his holy name. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. As we enter into the fundamentals of our spirituality, our relationship with the Son, we ask you to grant us truly to rejoice with apostolic joy and to see everything more from your perspective. Grant us hope of your deliverance, healing, and blessing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And in honor of Mary's relationship with the Holy Spirit, we ask the Holy Spirit for what we need most. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Father's voice was heard. "This is my beloved Son." This is such a major feast in the church that it has its own proper readings for both the first and second office of readings. It has its own special readings in its a separate part under the saints, and that's called a proper reading. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter's words in John's Gospel, chapter 6, are a verse introducing the lesson. First reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Peter tells of the conversion of the Gentiles. All through Judea, the apostles and the brothers heard that Gentiles, too, had accepted the word of God. As a result, when Peter went up to Jerusalem, some among the circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You entered the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter then explained the whole affair to them step by step from the beginning. "I was at prayer in the city of Joppa when in a trance I saw a vision. An object like a big canvas came down. It lowered down to me from the sky by its four corners. As I stared at it, I could make out four-legged creatures of the earth, wild beasts and reptiles and birds of the sky. I listened as a voice said to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter, then eat.' I replied, 'Not for a moment, sir. Nothing unclean or impure has ever entered my mouth.' A second time, the voice from the heavens spoke out, 'What God has purified, you are not to call unclean.' This happened three times. Then the canvas with everything in it was drawn up again into the sky. Immediately after that, the three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea came to the house where we were staying. The Spirit instructed me to accompany them without hesitation. These six brothers came along with me, and we entered the man's house. He informed us that he had seen an angel standing in his house, and that the angel had said, 'Send someone to Joppa and fetch Simon, known also as Peter. In the light of what he will tell you, you will be saved and all your household.' As I began to address them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God was giving them the same gift he gave us when we first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to interfere with him?" When they heard this, they stopped objecting and instead began to glorify God in these words, "If this be so, then God has granted life-giving repentance even to the Gentiles." Responsory prayer. "I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned it to me, you must strengthen the faith of your brothers. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And when you have turned to me, you must strengthen the faith of your brothers." Our second reading from tradition is really from one of the strongest and most centralized popes. It's a reading from a sermon about Peter by St. Leo the Great Pope of the 400s and 300s AD. The Church of Christ rises on the firm foundation of Peter's faith. Out of the whole world, one man, Peter, is chosen to preside at the calling of all nations and to be set over all the apostles and all the fathers of the church. Though there are in God's people many bishops and many shepherds, Peter is thus appointed to rule in his own person those whom Christ also rules as the original ruler. Beloved, how great and wonderful is this sharing in his power that God in his goodness has given to this man. Whatever Christ has willed to be shared in common by Peter and the other leaders of the church, it is only through Peter that he has given to others what he cannot refuse to bestow on them. The Lord now asks the apostles as a whole what men think of him. As long as they are recounting the uncertainty born of human ignorance, their reply is always the same. But when he presses the disciples to say what they think themselves, the first to confess his faith in the Lord is the one who is first in rank among the apostles. Peter says, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replies, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You are blessed, he means, because my Father has taught you. You have not been deceived by earthly opinion, but have been enlightened by inspiration from heaven. It was not flesh and blood that pointed me out to you, but the one whose only begotten Son I am. He continues, and I will say to you, in other words, as my Father has revealed to you my Godhead, so I, in my turn, make known to you your preeminence. You are Peter, though I am the inviolable rock, the cornerstone that makes both one, the foundation apart from which no one can lay any other. Yet you also are a rock, for you are given solidity by my strength, so that which is my very own because of my power is common between us through your participation. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On this strong foundation, he says, I will build an everlasting temple. The great height of my church, which is to penetrate the heavens, shall rise on the firm foundation of this faith. The gates of hell shall not silence this confession of faith. The chains of death shall not bind it. Its words are the words of life. As they lift up to heaven those who profess them, so they send down to hell those who contradict them. Blessed Peter is therefore told, To you I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed also in heaven. The authority vested in this power passed also to the other apostles, and the institution established by this decree has been continued in all the leaders of the church. But it is not without good reason that what is bestowed on all is entrusted to one. For Peter received it separately in trust, because he is the prototype set before all the rulers of the church. Responsory prayer to this reading from sacred tradition. Before I called you from the boat, I knew you, Simon Peter, and I have appointed you leader of my people. I have entrusted to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be held bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be held loosed in heaven. I have entrusted to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now we have a special prayer because this is considered just the same as a Sunday or even a solemnity. Not a solemnity, but a Sunday. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim sing in endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Save your people, Lord, and bless your inheritance. Govern and uphold us now and always. Day by day we bless you. We praise your name forever. Keep us today, Lord, from all sin. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy. Lord, show us your love and mercy, for we put our trust in you. In you, Lord, is our hope, and we shall never hope in vain. Final prayer for the office of readings. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that no tempests may disturb us, for you have set us fast on the rock of the Apostle Peter's confession of faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. Wow, this really is one of my favorite feasts. Again, this is why just reading the office, praying the office, not reading it, but praying it, is like an act of worship as well as an act of catechesis. You know, as we were reading the first and second reading, there were so many insights that you could develop and you could pull out from those verses from the scripture, and also St. Leo's preaching about what the heart of his ministry meant in the tradition of the church. It's one of those days where if we were together in person, I'd be especially fastidious to make sure that I understood what you had in mind and what stood out to you in those readings, and kind of address some concerns or questions that might come up. But what you basically have in here is the church has chosen a rather surprising reading, one that showcases Peter's kind of what we would call synodality, and also his humanity and his doubting of himself, more so than the one that is always cited by Catholic apologists, which is Matthew 16, 18. But at any rate, all these scriptures about Peter are really, really important to the Catholic Church. I mean, they actually form the heart and center and the strength and power of everything that we know about the papacy. And that's what all the patristic fathers developed themselves off of. Now, that doesn't mean that everything was exactly the same. For example, you can't say the papacy was the same as it was at Vatican I when St. Peter was there. It would be dramatically different and very, very much more freer and unregulated. So the differences are really interesting. But at the same time, the essence of what Peter does in Scripture is our mirror in which we understand the why, the how, the what of the papacy. So that's why theologians will spend so much time discussing, hey, this is what Matthew intends to tell us about the binding and loosing, or this is what Matthew intends to tell us about Peter proclaiming Christ, Son of the Living God, before the others. This is what it means that he's leader of the choir. And of course, you know, the fathers correctly read the church scriptures, and they knew that Peter was made the teacher of the entire world. So in John's gospel, you know, he's the teacher of the entire world because Christ reinstates him and gives him this ability to feed his sheep. He tells him three times, and Benedict talks about the original language, lovely, do you love me? But the last time is different. It's a different word in the original language. But anyway, without going into that, Peter is commissioned to make God's word universally heard, to make the light of God's truth echo throughout the entire world. And even after he turned away from the faith that he initially confessed, he briefly, you know, deserts the Lord and turns to something else during his passion, during the Lord's passion. He reinstates him as the inviolable rock on which, with Christ, the priesthood, the church, the homilies, the teaching, the sacrifice of the Eucharist, the other prayers like the Mass are going to be all guided by this shepherd. And, you know, he's set to feed them with the Word of God, with the bread of life from the altar, from the priests and the altar, and to confirm people, to help make God's light his known. And of course, you know, people often wonder about some things, but that's when you'd want to have a conversation rather than try to cover everything that might happen. Anyway, there are so many people spiritually starving today, you know. I often think, what is it like when I myself am spiritually starving? And you know, often it takes the general sense of unsatisfaction or even pain. People today, I think, are experiencing that even more so. You know, they're experiencing so much. They really are. That's one of the reasons the Pope, as our representative of the Catholic people, declared this a year of hope, because we're supposed to be beacons of hope and conveyors of God's wisdom and love and truth to others. That's another reason I'm a little puzzled, you know, as I'm doing my reflection, thinking, it seems like so many people are so closed off to what the Catholic Church offers. But why is that, you know? And that's kind of what I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, I know the cultural difference between the church and some of the things that we believe is pretty big, but the essential idea here, I mean, I don't think that you, unless you're very anti-authoritarian, which some people are, can really go too far afield of this. Peter is a specially elected leader who has a special prerogative of closeness to God, being at the top of the authority chain. So he's the ultimate authority figure and the ultimate decider, if you will. And he also is, as he said, the prototype of all the rulers of the church. That's what he meant. Anyway, he has to feed people. People are starving themselves, and they go after all these other things, all these idolatries of sexuality and politics and race and you know, even New Age spirituality is dangerous feed. You know, things that might hook them up with things that are very different from the Word of God, different from the tradition of the church, in very much leading them, yes, to things that might make them feel a little bit better temporarily, yes, to answers that might, as some people have told me, give them a sense of peace about tragedies or people that have died in their lives, but ultimately don't promise them the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ, and they don't show us who God really is. So they end up actually poisoning themselves, you know, on these different types of religious things. Eventually they will get to a bad place in those types of organizations. So again, looking to our perspective today, over 2,000 years of history, you know, the popes have confirmed us in faith. They've been the ones who conserved the original deposit of faith about Jesus. You know, that's what they're famous for. You know, if there were issues with people like Arius, or I listed about five of them when we talked about Galatians. But anyway, the Modulus, the Arius, the Sabians, you know, I list monotheism, you know, I listed some of them. Now, anyway, the Church of Rome has always kind of preserved a way of counteracting those types of distortions that arise within the church. And it's because of the Holy Apostle Peter and his special leadership ability established in that see that we're able to do that. Now, it's not the place for really long discussion about papal infallibility or some of those issues that are very personal and important to people. I think I tried to address some of those last year. But the end result here is, you know, hey, people want to know why. Why isn't it just everybody reads their Bible and understands it? That's an interesting question. I'd like to know more about themselves. But basically, Thomas Aquinas gives you the answer. Yeah, see, God could do that. You know, he could do anything. He could have created us different than we are, with different arms and different legs or a different structure. But the way that God has created means that God wants to do things in a fitting way. You know, he talks about the choirs of angels. So the way that God has created everything is that there are all these different angels. And the light, the enlightenment, the wisdom comes down from the higher choirs of angels, Thomas says, and enlightens the lower choirs of angels. And it, of course, it's not a perfect analogy, but it shows you that there's this downward movement in the way that God chooses to work his word through people. It's not just a matter of, okay, everybody gets everything automatically. You know, it's one of those complex things that you have to figure out about the world that we live in. Everybody doesn't get everything automatically. Some people are given a little bit, a little deposit of faith. Some are given more and more and more. And really, taking aside some of the complicated issues, that's the basic idea here. That is the basic idea. So again, why aren't people coming to the church? I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with our sinfulness. A lot of it has to do with, you know, some of the ways in which they misperceive the papacy and also the theological arguments, like about infallibility in certain church issues and ecclesiology and our divisions and things like that. But, you know, this is a year of hope. It's a year when we want to turn all of that around. So please ask for a plenary indulgence for doing this with me. I wish I could get two, because I did it twice already. But this is such a great feast. I'm glad to be able to practice catechizing with you. Anyway, ask for a plenary indulgence or a partial indulgence. You'll get it for sure, and you can give it to a soul in purgatory or someone that our Lord or our Lady chooses. And please contact us. If you have some burning objection or you're really upset or something about something I said, go ahead and contact us at the contact page. I'll try to read anything that you send about my divine offices.